Hello again, and welcome to Crime and Music. I'm your host, Brian J. Kinsley, and with me, as always, music's original fanboy, Jason Roy.
Thank you, Brian.
Every other week, we'll bring you a new true crime podcast about people in and around the music business and their misadventures into lawbreaking. If you like music history, murder mystery, people with eccentricity, you've come to the right place. Share with a friend, tell a relative. Right now, we're trying to get Alaska back. We had Alaska for a while. It slipped from our grasp. So if you know somebody there, send them your favorite episode. Be like, hey, I like these guys. Check them out. Feel free to go to iTunes and give a review. And if you want to reach out to us, we're found at all the social medias at Crime and Music. Or you can even leave us a SpeakPipe. We've got one coming up later in the show. SpeakPipe is a voice message. You don't have to leave your name or an email or nothing. Just an anonymous voice message. Go to crimeinmusic.com, scroll down, and leave us a SpeakPipe. Jason, how you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, Brian. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah. The frequent listeners will know Jason has come to sit in while Ben succeeds at life. But we're glad to have you, and Ben can go
do whatever he does. We're on the sidelines enjoying Ben's success.
Yeah, right? It's fun to watch your friends like do well.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. It's not. It bothers me. But hey, we're here anyway, and we're going to get bothered by some other things. We're going to talk about some crime and some music. This week, we're going to get into some, there's assault, battery, there's things about, like, arson, there's things, unfortunately, we get some sexual assault in there. It's not really what I'm looking for.
No.
But there's some great music. Oh my gosh, the music is legendary. Like, literally, what history is written about music is in here this week, so... I'm pretty excited to tell you about the guests this time. I really don't want to tip my hand too much, but I think you're going to like it.
All right. Let's get quizzical.
All right. What we're going to do now is play not my favorite game, not your favorite game. I'd say Ben's favorite games, but yeah, you don't like it, but it's Guess the Guest. Okay. This week's Guess the Guest.
All right.
Well, this one's going to be a little different
because
you know what? It's not a person.
Gem and the Holograms.
Ooh, that's excellent. Showtime synergy. No, nicknames. This was, some people call it the original Fire Festival.
It's a festival?
It's a festival.
All right. Oh, okay. Fire Festival. I saw the documentary. Things went south pretty quick on that one. Can I get a clue?
Like, sure. They redubbed it The Day the Music Died.
Oh, this is Buddy Holly, Big Bopper, and was it Richie Valens?
We talked about this in Waylon Jennings' episode. They redubbed it.
Oh, man.
So this is like the second time the music died.
The second time it died?
Yeah, they consider this the second death of music.
All right. Second death. Oh, God. It sounds like it's more like an era than anything.
It's a festival. Let's see here.
Okay, it's not Woodstock. Woodstock 94.
No. Very close. The Mud People were not involved in this one. Very close. It was called A Violent Disaster That Predicted America's Future.
Oh, my gosh. You got to give me something more to go with. At least with the Soda Pop Festival, you were giving them Lake Erie and all that.
Yeah,
you gave
them
more
that,
to go
all
on.
That stuff. I can't. You've already said the name. You just got the year wrong.
Woodstock. Not the original Woodstock.
No.
Nope, not the 94. They did a third one, right?
Nope, they've done five of them, actually.
Five of them.
Yeah. So what would be an anniversary of that? So 94 was like, 25 years? So what would be...
Oh, can I do math now?
Another one. At 10 seconds, I will help
Woodstock
you.
Woodstock 2004.
What would be the 30th anniversary of Woodstock?
When was the first Woodstock?
69.
Woodstock 99.
Hey!
I knew it.
You did it.
It was on the tip of my tongue.
Woodstock 99.
Is that Ric Flair or is that the politician where he got so revved up? We're going to take this. We're going to take that.
Woo! Yeah, the one that blew its whole entire campaign.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's not him.
Okay.
All right. Yes, no. Yeah, we are at July 22nd through the 25th, 1999, called Woodstock 99.
I want to know who's on the roster.
Oh, we'll get there.
Okay,
We'll get there. It all started with this guy, John Scherner, the festival co-promoter. He previously lost money promoting Woodstock 94, like you had mentioned.
Yeah.
And he said, quote, "You can have a Woodstock and it can be safe and secure environment. We're going to try and make a profit on this one." So he's really hopeful going into it.
So he got after the, I don't think 94 was a failure though.
with the mud people and the rain.
But people remember it. You talk about when Green Day was on there. Is that what you're talking about? And they were throwing mud on stage.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a failure.
All right.
Wait.
Compared to what we have coming up, 94 was a spectacular success.
Okay, I forgot about all the raping and the sexual assault. So yeah, that was.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. It
was a failure.
All right. Well, it wasn't planned as a failure. As a matter of fact, it was he wanted to make a profit. So it was held in upstate New York, this time in Rome. That's roughly 100 miles from the site of the original event. It's kind of by, I want to say, Rochester, I think it is.
Okay.
The second large scale musical festival after Woodstock 94 that attempted to emulate the original Woodstock Music Festival of 1969.
See, Woodstock 94 to me, though, seemed, there's only, you say Woodstock, people think of the original Woodstock.
Go over that in case we got some people who are new. What is, I mean, just briefly, what's Woodstock 1969 and what was the deal?
It was a field outside of Hendrix, his guitar, Santana was there. It was at the Don't Take the Brown Acid.
Yeah, we'll get there.
I think Woodstock 94, I think Woodstock on its own, like, it's an iconic moment, and not just rock and roll but music in general.
Right.
To me, Woodstock 94 always had more of a Lollapalooza feel to it. You know what I mean? It really did.
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit more corporate than the original Woodstock 69 was on a farm in New York State, and they gathered all of the greatest bands from that era. I mean, all of them were there. Hendrix and
Santana,
The Who. I mean, all sorts of stuff. People rocking out all day. And so, of course, a bunch of people showed up, like 200,000 to 300,000 people showed up. And ever since, concert promoters have been like, I want to recapture that.
Yeah, lightning in a bottle.
I want that money.
Yep.
Give me the money. Give me the money. Anyway, so what they tried to do is throw another Woodstock all the time. And like, we've done the Erie Canal Soda Pop Festival. So you had the Monterey or the Woodstock on the Wabash. And
it's kind of like did you ever see the movie with Matthew Broderick, The Godzilla?
Just Hank Godzilla. Azaria. Yep.
Yeah, it was, you know, a lot of the Godzilla fans just call that, you know, he was Godzilla by name only. So to me, Woodstock 94 was kind of Woodstock by name only.
Right.
And if you look, I read an article and they had actually, you know, you see, what were some of the pictures? Like the girl that had like the blanket around her and she's got the flowers, she kind of covered with mud.
Right.
And you have a couple of the couples that are, some of those couples, they're still going strong today.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's all just bringing people together.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of bringing people together, cable network MTV covered the concert extensively, and they did the whole entire weekend so that everyone could come together and see what Woodstock 99 was all about.
Woodstock 99. Are you talking about the one with the... That's the second one you're talking about, right?
Yes.
Yeah, was that... Yeah, that was a failure. Now I look back.
Get there. Well, spectacularly.
There was, when the Chili Peppers played, right? That was...
Hold your horses there, buddy.
Okay.
Festival co-founder Michael Lang has referred to Woodstock 99 as MTV stock, since the original founders had very little, if any, control. MTV apparently was pretty strict on what you could do, what you could say, who was on stage, that stuff. Yeah.
They didn't have a financial stake in it, did they?
MTV?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
I mean, they floated the bill.
Well, not the whole bill, but yeah, they were very much indeed like all the media coverage for sure. So the concert was performed on the east side of Rome at this former Air Force base called Griffiths Air Force Base. It's a former United States Air Force installation on the northeast side. It's about 15 miles northwest of Utica, New York. Missions included fighter interceptors, electronic research, installation. They did support activities, aerial refueling, and they stored a bunch of bombers there. They had a bunch of B-52s that hung out there. It was opened in 1942, and then the bays closed pursuant to BRAC action in 1995, and its airfield is now Griffiths International Airport, owned by Oneida County.
So it's got some history.
A little bit. Now, in November 1984, the site was added to the national priorities list because hazardous chemicals were found in the soil and the groundwater.
Ooh.
And getting too close to my day job, solvents, lead, and polychlorinated bihenyls, PBCs, they diluted into landfills and the dry wells. The Air Force closed the B-52 base in 1995. It's converted into a business and technology park, and so they turned it into a concert venue.
Okay.
They had about 220,000 people in attendance and another 10,000 people work in the festival. So Woodstock 99 temporarily made the festival site the third most populated city in the state of New York.
Wow.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people.
Prior to the concert, promoters of the event were determined to avoid gate crashing that occurred at other festivals prior to this one. You know, people busting through fences and stuff like that.
Did you ever read it was concert hacks or something, like way to smuggle booze into a show?
Sure.
I don't know if I mentioned this to you before, but there was a concert out in England. Kid knew where the concert was going to be before they even set up. Went out there like 2 weeks before, buried a couple fists in the area. So they set everything up, and he bought his ticket, went right for his little area, dug up the fist, and drank for free.
Like a pirate.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to stash my booty for later.
I'm like, genius.
That's brilliant. Well, these guys thought they were brilliant because they characterized this particular airfield as defensible. Like, we can defend it against concert goers, which is not really the attitude you want to have against concert goers. You don't want to be like, hey, let's get all these people in there and defend against them.
Like, are other concerts attacking? Like, the Warped Tour is coming in?
Like, oh, no, it's Oingo Boingo. They had a security fence, described 12-foot plywood and steel fence intended to keep out those without tickets. Now, along with the fence, they had about 500 New York State police troopers. They were hired. There's cops around. But, I mean, still, 500 versus 220,000.
They weren't the Hell's Angels, so that's good.
That's right. Hey, callback. In addition to the two main stages, the secondary venues were available. These included several alternate stages and the nighttime rave tent.
It dates it right there.
They had a film festival sponsored by the Independent Film Channel. They had like X Games ramps and BMX bikes and skateboard ramps and stuff like that all over the
red
grounds.
Mountain Dew.
Exactly. Like, light your hair on fire. Let's do it. Woo! Do it for the dew.
Look at me. I'm young.
Some of these things, like the Independent Film Channel's spot, they had that film festival in an old airplane hangar. So it sounds like a pretty cool setup, honestly.
Yeah, it does, actually. They get their bases covered. But at some point, were they counting like... They're gonna take a break from listening to music. They're gonna catch some movies. Like, is it?
Yeah, man. Like, you don't want to listen to George Clinton and the P-Funk. You're gonna catch an independent film about soap in the Irish Isles.
It's like really grainy when you watch it. It's got like a sepia look to it.
It's black and white. Yeah. And like, oh, but then they hand out free samples of Irish Spring.
Yeah.
So it's cool. Woodstock '99 was conceived and executed as a commercial venue with dozens of corporate sponsors, including the presence of vendor malls. So they literally had malls set up out there on the tarmac.
Nice.
And modern accoutrements such as ATMs and email stations. You got to check emails while you're out on the concert tour.
They went corporate.
We'll get there.
ATM? A mall?
Tickets were priced for the event at $150. That's about $235 today.
How much is Coachella?
I don't think it's that much, is it?
I don't know. My brother goes whenever they have it, but...
Sure.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit more.
Wow.
But he has a good point, though. He's like, all right, yeah, it's a little bit more pricey, but basically he's like, I'm knocking out all my concerts in a weekend. So
that's true. That's a good plan. Well, you had to pay $230, $235 plus a service charge at the time. That's considered pretty high cost for a festival like this. They're like
Ticketmaster?
Yeah.
That Pearl Jam surcharge.
Dude. Thousands of people flooded the festival site with fake passes in order to avoid paying the festival service charge. So they tried that. Security guards said they were confiscating passes at the rate of 50 fake passes an hour at one gate.
Wow.
Hey, man, you ain't cheating. You ain't trying.
Did you ever do the thing when you were trying to get into like bars when you were younger and they put like the X on there? And
oh, yeah.
Your butt, you lick it.
Yep.
Press
it on the back of your hand. Try to get that transfer.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I'll pay the $5 just to spit off my hand.
Well, I explained to this somebody the other day, we never had a problem getting alcohol as minors. I mean, we just knew people who, like, dude looked exactly like his older brother at 18 as he did at 16, at 21, like, just hand down a driver's license. It was the same guy.
It's a family of clones.
Seriously. Like, there's a word for that. It's like...
Inbred?
Pretty much. No, something like chronological twins or something like that. Yeah. Anyway. So there were not a lot of chronological twins at Woodstock 99. In fact, the festival didn't even sell out. They capped ticket sales at 250,000 tickets.
So,
hold on to that number because it comes back around as not being accurate.
Foreshadowing.
Many of the high profile acts such as Limp Bizkit, Korn, Red Hot Chili Peppers, and Creed were popular, and rising artists of that time. So they had the best of the best coming into their festival. They had enough space. They had the vendors. I mean, it's shaping up to be a pretty good show.
On paper. You got Creed.
Yeah. Oh, dude, how could you not like Creed?
My mouth's not open.
My mouth not open. While no groups that performed at the original Woodstock Festival were on stage at Woodstock 99, there were individuals who did. So you had John Entwistle of The Who. He performed a solo set. Mickey Hart, drummer for The Grateful Dead. He played with his band Planet Drum. Jeff Beck was scheduled to perform, but he had to cancel due to a scheduling conflict. Funny story here, Jeff Beck was also the dude scheduled to perform at the original Woodstock, but his band, the Jeff Beck Group, broke up the week before.
Really?
So two Woodstocks, man. He's like, oh! It's like, oh no, wait, here's my chance 30 years later. Oh!
What are the chances?
Like, you guys are assholes.
Yeah.
Sugar Ray was also slated to appear at Woodstock 99, but had to cancel due to lead singer Mark McGrath. He had an illness. Somebody took something off his four-post vest.
Four-post
vest,
gel.
Whatever it was. Damn, I blew that joke. Al Green was also slated to appear, but he backed out because John F. Kennedy Jr. died in a plane crash. And so I guess that is more important.
I would have pulled out, like, who's playing? Creed? I'm out.
I'm good, thank you. Robbie Krieger, the Doors guitarist, he was a surprise addition to the Creed set. But he's invited up there to play Roadhouse Blues. Going to a roadhouse, gonna have a real... good time. He was supposed to play with Creed, and he did. We'll talk about that later.
I can't wait.
Okay, here's what you wanted.
All right.
I'm going to take a sip of my beer, and I'm going to read you the lineup in order of appearance.
Okay.
Strap in, everybody. Some acts that showed up were third base.
Third base, Pop Goes the Weasel.
And the Gas Face.
Yep,
Gas Face. G-Love and Special Sauce. The String Cheese Incident. We're getting into some hippie Newgrass type of stuff here.
Yeah.
George Clinton and the P-Funk All-Stars. Chuck Berry.
Nice.
Smell my fart, baby. The Roots.
Talking to the mic.
ICP.
Oh, we just talked about them.
Exactly. Mo.
From Mo?
Yeah, Mo Sizzlak.
Oh.
Yeah, no, I don't know. You know Mo. You've heard of Mo. Mo's got some good songs. Oleander.
I do know that name.
I know you do. That's why, yep, I put it in there. James Brown.
All right.
Let's see here. Jamiroquai.
I just watched, literally 48 hours ago, I was listening to Jamiroquai.
Boom, boom.
The virtual insanity.
Virtual insanity. Yep.
Yeah. Video of the year.
That was a great video,
right?
It's
a great video.
Amazing. Live.
Oh, yeah. Throwing Copper, right? That was their big album. That was a good album.
Sheryl Crow.
Oh, yeah.
DMX.
Yep.
A Band I Hate. The Offspring.
Okay. Do you know about...
Oh, God. You're not going to make me like The Offspring. I guarantee you. I hate that band.
Okay. What's the lead singer? Is it Dexter... I forget his last name.
Dexter Manley? I think it's Dexter Holland.
Yeah, Dexter Holland. He actually has his PhD in, like, molecular something.
Well, that makes sense why he's not a good musician.
Well, I don't see how. but no, he's really into, like, AIDS research. He's
well, now I can't make fun of him.
Yeah, see?
Hate him even more.
La, la,
you have
la,
Korn.
La, la.
You got Bush.
Hey, they're a guilty pleasure of mine.
You got Bayou Phillips.
Bayou.
Moby, Guster.
Listen to Moby about 3 weeks ago.
There you go. Bruce Hornsby.
And The Range?
No, just Bruce Hornsby.
Okay.
When you go to a Bruce Hornsby concert, you think they're booing him, but they're not. They're saying Bruce. They're going, Bruce. I'm like, are they booing this guy? This is amazing. They're like, no, it's saying Bruce. Oh, okay. Everclear.
Love Everclear.
Ice Cube. Los Lobos.
Okay.
The Chemical Brothers. Well, you got some on Los Lobos?
No, they're remade Richie Valens, right? La Bamba, that was their big one, but they're known for stuff.
It's true. Let's see. The Tragically Hip, Kid Rock, Wyclef Jean, and the Refugee All-Stars, Counting Crows, Dave Matthews Band, Alanis Morissette, Limp Bizkit, Rage Against the Machine, Metallica, Fatboy Slim, Rusted Root, Collective Soul. Nope, not an actual burp. Godsmack, Megadeth, Brian Setzer Orchestra. Remember when we saw them?
Oh, yeah.
That was dope because we saw them, and all of a sudden, these two kids in the front row pop up on stage in front of Brian Setzer and start swing dancing. And he just backs up. He's like, oh, yeah, go. You know, and he, like, let him go, dude. He was whipping that chick around over his head, spinning her around.
When I bought my house, they cleaned it up pretty good, but I found I found a I Love Stray Cats bumper sticker.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Stray Cats. It's the ladies.
That's feeling. See, Casanova. Most people think Rock This Town. I like Stray Cat Strut better than Rock This Town.
We're gonna rock this town. Yeah.
The one I gotta go to school no more.
No more. That's hilarious.
Sexy and 17.
No, we can't sing that. No.
I'm not going to sing it.
No, she's only 17.
There's a pedophile.
Yeah, there's a thing, dude. That's a real thing.
Yeah, she's only 17. She's 16. She's beautiful. Oh. And she's mine.
Yeah,
that one.
Sweet 16.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a thing, man. I don't like it. It's creepy. No. And I'm glad it's being exposed and hopefully resolved by people just knowing about it. So we also have Elvis Costello, Jewel, Red Hot Chili Peppers, and
who?
Willie Nelson.
Willie.
Yeah. If anybody can save this flaming pile of shit, it's Willie Nelson.
Willie, we need you more than ever.
All right.
Sheryl Crow's getting out of control.
All right. I'm Willie Nelson. Music from Woodstock 1999 was released on a two-disc compact disc set, Woodstock 1999. The album features 32 performing artists and was released on Epic Records in October 1999.
You know, it's funny now that you're talking about it, and I haven't thought about this in years. Like, the stories.
Yeah, man.
I remember watching MTV and like John Norris and Serena Altuul, like they were there.
Ooh,
and they're covering it.
Drop.
Yeah, and I remember it. I'm not going to give any spoilers, but it started out so positive.
Oh, you chime in when you hear something you remember. If I miss it, you let me know.
Okay.
All right. Well, I've given you the venue. We talked about the airbase they're on. We talked about all the bands that are showing up. Let's take a walk around and see what's going on. Let's see what the festival is like. First thing you'll notice is the oppressive heat.
That was exactly the number. And then see if you get the next.
It's 100 degrees.
Yep.
That's 38 degrees Celsius for you metric people. Thousands of people were treated for heat stroke and exhaustion. So, and it's an Air Force base, right?
Yeah.
And so they fly planes in and out of Air Force bases on runways. So they cut down all the trees to pave the runway.
Cut concrete.
Exactly.
Jeez. There's
nothing like the steam and asphalt beneath your feet. The east and west stages were 2.3 miles apart, which is about 3.7 kilometers. So you had to walk across the hot concrete for like 2.5 miles or about 4 kilometers, 4K worth of freaking sweating just to go see another band.
A bunch of barefooted hippies walking on sizzling concrete.
Now, many people were quoted as saying, I've been here for 2 days and I've never seen the other side. And other people were talking about, yeah, if you're on the east stage, you literally, it's so far away, you can't hear the west stage. So it's kind of cool for that, but it's a good, you know, half hour walk.
I spent $235 for this.
Yeah, right.
Oh, did you, on YouTube, there's a, I don't think it's necessarily white noise, but there's this channel and it's, they'll play songs, but it's what it would sound like if you're standing outside the bar. And it's this real muffled.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
dude.
It's got a huge following. And
how
it's,
would you not? That's the greatest background noise
ever.
Yeah,
so it's just like, you know, like that, like kind of like the high bass, but the muffled vocals. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, it's a huge thing.
Wow. That's brilliant, man.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Okay, so you've got your heat exhaustion, your dehydration. You've got some of these stages, though, like the emerging artist stage and the rave stage, they were in deactivated airplane hangars. So you had some shade, right?
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, you've got these huge crowds gathered outside the emerging artist stage, and you had to put up with, like, Push Monkey and Sticky Pistol and Bayou Phillips just to get out of the sun. So it made those people seem like they were really popular, even though they really weren't.
They just wanted some reprieve.
Like, what's that chick screaming about? Like, whatever, man. It's not in the sun.
But the ones that had, like, the Dr. Seuss hats on.
Oh, dude.
They were like, right? They're here for the rave. They're not here to cool down.
Boo! Doot, 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 boo! Like, dude, it's the middle of the day.
With those sticks. That,
like your devil sticks you're flicking around.
Yeah.
Like, read a book. So, all right, well, that's walking around. So once you get inside the actual festival ground, sort of like itself, you get into the mix of it, right? They had on-site vendors we talked about.
But aren't those, like, I don't know, maybe I'm not that familiar with, like, hangers, but I always think of, like, the tin ones that are, like...
Yeah, that's what you're talking about. Yeah, the bigger half-rounded, it looks like, an airplane hangar, if you don't know what an airplane hangar looks like. It's a big metal room, like a half-bent circle in
the
ground.
Yeah, like a tombstone.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. And, like, there's you know, covering, and you go under there, like a livestock sort of shed. Cramming dirty, stinky hippies in there. Do it!
Jeez.
So once you're inside, you get to buy from these vendors and these malls that are set up on the tarmac. And the burritos are about $10. That's about $15 nowadays. Hot dogs and sandwiches are probably about $10. 10-inch pizza, tiny 10-inch pizza, $15 nowadays. You want a 20-ounce bottle of water or a soda? $4.
That's like Comerica Park prices.
Bag of ice? $15.
$15?
$15 bag of ice.
How much is water?
Water is nowadays about $6.25 for a 20-ounce bottle of water, like so, I handed you in the studio today.
So buy a bag of ice, let it melt.
Sell it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you got to pay for that plastic.
Well, I mean, I haven't really thought. I'm just an ideas man, Brian.
Yeah, no. Hey, right?
Easy. Is it perfect? No, but I think that's what I like about it.
It's an idea. Yeah. You can run with that. Haven't you heard of people running with ideas? That's me. They start where I am at. If they wanted to run with an idea, right? Like, I don't know, let's not pay these high prices and go to a regular store.
Or just turn on MTV.
Well, you could. You could watch it all. But yeah, you could go into town. There were buses running in into town. So
send help!
If you walk 2.5 miles, you could get on one of the loop buses. They're called loop buses. And then the buses went to Rome. Not Italy, but Rome, New York. So it's a small, small, small town.
These poor people that live there.
By Utica, New York. They had a modest shopping area. There were super long lines for everything. Like, low stock. They would say, we're out of bread today. Like, 99 people in line for the bread. One person in line gets bread. That's all the bread we have for today.
They must have cleaned that town out.
So they did. People stood there to access free water at water fountains, right? They would stand in lines that were like quarter mile long for water fountains because it's free. But people got frustrated waiting in line for the water fountain, so they broke open the pipes to the water, so people in the middle got the water, and then that created large muddy pits and stuff like that.
So there's probably the one, with my luck.
We're not quite to the mud people, but it's kind of coming back to it.
With my luck, I'd be behind the guy that puts his mouth around the whole water fountain.
What are you doing, dude?
God.
Like, social distancing wasn't a thing then, but like, back off the fountain.
Jesus. Yeah.
So now you've got these giant mud pits and, well, you got these toilets, right? You got your toilet facilities up there. There's not enough toilets for 220,000 people. Ugh. So within a short time, some of the facilities became, and the toilets and the showers were unusable and overflowing. Now, the only problem that could make this worse is that the toilets were located uphill from the campgrounds.
Oh, shit rolls downhill, dude.
Yeah, no foreshadowing there, buddy.
Why would you? Honestly, though, if I'm under those circumstances, I'm probably going to get in that mud. It cools you down.
Ah, that's so gross. But you're not wrong.
My skin's going to be great afterwards.
Some people did get in the mud. There wasn't enough room, luckily, on small grassy areas for many campers, so a lot of people set their tents up right on the asphalt.
Oh, my God. How'd they nail those stakes in there?
You just let it, just pop it on there. Pop it up.
Okay.
Pop your tent up. It's a pop-up tent. You had to camp, too, because virtually every hotel around upstate New York was booked months in advance. But not by people going to Woodstock 99. Rooms were filled by people going to the Baseball Hall of Fame ceremony held in nearby Cooperstown.
Oh, my God.
It's the same weekend.
It's a recipe for disaster.
So, according to one account, a motel in Rome had to turn away Alanis Morissette, Howard Stern, and George Clinton. The P-Funk All-Stars were camping. Because there were no rooms.
So.
Sorry, Michelle. And that goes to you, Karen. You know who you are.
Yeah. So it seems to me like that's just poor planning. If you're organizing this event, at least make sure that your headliners have a place to crash.
You would think.
Like, yeah.
Well, all right. Now we've talked about walking around the grounds. And we got our shit tent set up and we can't have water. And we've been to town, which is empty and there's no more bread. So let's check out a show. You want to go see some music?
What'd they do?
Let's go see some music.
And?
Well, basically, when you're at the East or West stage, whenever a woman walked on stage, whether to MC or perform, the crowd would immediately start chanting. I'm pointing at Jason.
I can't even be.
Show your tits! Hey, man, what? There's a lady up there. I got to see your tits. So Rosie Perez comes out. She's going to introduce DMX, right? What? And the crowd shouts, show your tits.
So
and
you have this, there's a storm a brewing. I mean, really, you have like this, you had this crowd that's say.
I don't want to get ahead of the story, but yeah, you're seeing it.
You have crowds that are subjugating women. You know what I mean? They're like drunk and high and just.
Tip your mic up.
Oh, sorry. Then you got Korn. Korn, Limp Bizkit.
There you go.
Yeah. So I'm just.
Oh, the lineup is interesting, right? G Love and Special Sauce leads into like DMX. These are not the same crowd.
Jeez.
So Rosie's out there. They're like, show your tits. Show your tits. And Rosie goes, $3.99 Blockbuster. Rent, do the right thing. Because she shows her tits in that.
So. I've never seen that.
Well, now you know why you should. So Dave Matthews confirms the amount of boobage when he takes the stage. He says, quote, today there's an abundance of titties. He said that to 400,000 people and their titties.
There's a lot of titties. There is this one.
A lot of titties. So the Woodstock site would post photos of the females who attended the concert without their permission on Woodstock.com.
Oh my God.
With captions like, nice pair and show your tits.
Shut it down right now.
So, right? So, yeah, that didn't do real well. Eventually, they've got some people who come after them, but we'll get there. But right now, we're going to take a break.
Remind me, when it's all said and done, about Ad Rock and Woodstock from the Beast
Ad
Wars.
Rock and Woodstock. And on that note, we're going to take a break with a song from my high school band, which was around in 1999. 21 Days.
Should have been on Woodstock.
And we're back. What'd you do with your break?
I just had to use the restroom, but on my way, I had to step over. Well, it looked like a K-9 Jonestown. You have like two dogs.
Just
they're
two
just
big
napping
dogs.
There, and I didn't want to wake them up, so I'm like creeping by them.
Definitely leave sleeping dogs lie. Those ones will lick you to death.
Yeah.
So that's good. I did not. I just drank more of my beer and just kind of sat here. So there you go.
There you go.
All right, let's get back to the music. We were talking about watching some music, right? And so we've seen some boobs on stage, and now let's check out some ICP, the Insane Clown Posse.
I did not know they played.
Whoop whoop, juggle. We'll get there. We will get to the ICP one day. I promise. I've been promising it since like week two that we started the show, and I promise you, everyone who's listening, there will be an Insane Clown Posse. I'm literally kind of waiting for like the live show. We've got a live show planned for the future, and so. People I was thinking ICP would be a great topic. People can come dressed in makeup, bunch of juggalos, juggalettes, whoop, whoop.
People just dying of thirst at that concert. Like, hey, they got Faygo over there.
Once again, rich people in music. ICP guys. Their dads are all big Faygo executives.
Yep.
So if you don't know, Faygo is a very popular soda here, pop, cola, whatever, back in Michigan.
Yes, tasty.
So Insane Clown Posse is performing on the East Stage on Friday night before George Clinton and P-Funk All-Stars. And they're the first act to actually start inciting the crowd. They start throwing $100 bills into the audience.
Whoa.
And they start watching people start fighting and punching for the $100 bill, right? I mean, like a small pizza is like $15.
I was going to say, that's like, yeah, so. that's four pizzas right there.
Yeah, the old airplane hangar housed the first three Woodstock raves also. Moby was the featured act in the raves.
Nobody listens to Moby.
And during Fatboy Slim's set, people were in the festival rave area. MTV reported, quote, the set was stopped momentarily after someone accidentally started to drive a truck into the area. after 10-minute delay, Slim playfully threw on 45-second snippet of Carl Douglas's 1974 disco hit, Everybody Was Kung Fu Fighting, before he returned to his own dance music.
That just...
You're out raving around, and there's a truck driving through.
Yeah, I'm dying to start, like, thirst. It's hotter than hell. Shit's everywhere.
What I really want is a truck.
And then a truck. Like... What was it? Then a pterodactyl came down.
When Canadian alt-rockers Tragically Hip started to sing Oh Canada, they got booed off stage.
I didn't know that.
Well, no, of course not. Wyclef Jean tried to be Jimi Hendrix that weekend.
I remember that.
He went around even like noodling the guitar behind his head, and then he tried letting the guitar on fire. Didn't really do too much. He failed miserably. He made up a song on the spot too. They used the beat, kind of the tune from Jailhouse Rock, like an improv about Woodstock 99.
Yeah.
And we're all sweating here on Woodstock 99.
I'm so thirsty.
In the asphalt.
Watch out, a truck.
I got nothing. Creed brings out Doors' original guitarist, Robbie Krieger. We talked about that. They were doing their rendition of Roadhouse Blues. We're going to the Roadhouse, gonna have a real good time.
Did he have his leather pants on and his white
shirt? Oh, yeah,
shirt
yeah, man.
His,
oh, dude.
Like, his arms extended.
Bunch of turquoise jewelry.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. They're trying to bridge that gap between the 1969 Woodstock and the 1999 Woodstock, right? Problem was Krieger and the Doors didn't play at the original Woodstock. So, swing and a miss. It was not well received.
Yeah. They probably didn't. Yeah. that most of that crowd didn't know that.
No, they did not. They were like, woo, from, old guy, woo.
From the original Woodstock, please welcome Cyndi Lauper.
You know what's super creepy is the, have you heard the AI Dick Clark?
Uh-uh.
There's an AI Dick Clark, still does top 40, like, on Sunday mornings. And right now, 2020 zone.
Yeah.
Whatever.
He was voice of Shaggy, right?
Yeah. Zoinks sure was. He was the original voice of Shaggy in Scooby-Doo.
And from Michigan, right? Michigan guy.
He is from Michigan, actually.
Yeah.
He has a brother whose name, believe it or not, is Manure.
Manure Clark.
Manure Clark. Yep.
Really?
And his older brother, and his older brother actually hated his younger brother's success and the fact that his name was Manure. Dick Clark.
I do love when he, because one of the radio channels here, like I think it's like Saturday night, you know, they replay the old.
The old top 40.
Yeah. So, like a boss, I'll sit at home on a Saturday night and listen to a top 40 from 1987.
Nice.
Every time, though, it gets me. Like, when he reads the letters, I'm so invested into it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
This one is from Suzanne in Tulsa, Luca.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Dear Casey.
Dear Casey.
The questions, too. Like, nobody's asking these things. He's like, our first question comes from a reader in, I don't know, Juneau, Alaska. How many hip hop stars have met? Yeah, it's just like they're like no, like
how many
number one song with you know
are from Juneau, Alaska?
Yeah,
like well, you know, there's none. All right, that's the answer.
Yeah,
no, it creeped me out because I heard the AI be like, in this week's top 40 hit, it's Billie Eilish, and I'm like, what? No, she wasn't even alive when you were alive. There's not. How are you doing this? So yeah, I think you're gonna have Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve with a fake Dick Clark, and like I think he uploaded his consciousness to the internet. I swear to
really?
God.
Really.
I swear, something's happening. So Saturday night rolls around. Speaking of people who, like, you stayed too long at the party, Kid Rock comes up, right?
He was there?
He was there, and he starts putting out the seeds of aggression during his set. He goes to the stage, and he's like, I demand that you pelt me with plastic water bottles. And so there's just, like, a rain, like arrows in Lord of the Rings movie of plastic water bottles that just descended on the stage.
Can you imagine cleaning that mess up after?
Oh, we'll get there.
Ugh.
The violent actions really kicked off during a performance by Limp Bizkit.
Yeah.
You're like, I could totally see this happening.
Yeah.
Fans started tearing up plywood from the stage, pulling down walls, and pulling apart the fence during the song, Break Stuff. Give me something to break!
Just one of those days.
Just one of those days. Yeah, that was such a whiny song.
Eminem and Dr. Dre were in that video.
Really?
Yeah, I remember like Eminem rolls the window down and like says his like little part and rolls it back up. Dr. Dre's in it. The dude
what?
From Korn.
I do not recall this.
Yeah.
Well, Korn, hold on to that. They come up in a little bit here. Violence really escalates the next night as Red Hot Chili Peppers performed on the East stage.
I know what song too.
Then Megadeth performed on the West stage, right? Well, here's the thing. Before we get there, let's set the scene.
Okay.
Imagine if you will.
In a world.
You're walking around a concert with 200 some people. You're out in a grass field with a giant airstrip landing runway in it, right? And there's some peace promoters out there, right? There's like this group of anti-gun violence people, the Center to Prevent Youth Violence. Ironic.
Wow.
And what they're doing is they want to have a vigil. So at their booth, they've been handing out candles all day.
Oh, no.
Yeah, right. The idea was they're going to have a candlelight vigil during the Chili Peppers song Under the Bridge. Under the bridge. On the
moon. That was about his heroin addiction.
Yeah, but they're going to have a nice peaceful little sway moment. Everyone's going to light their candles and stuff like that. But
it happened, right?
During the band's set. No.
Wait, what?
Well, the candles got lit, and the Chili Peppers were playing, but the candles started a bunch of bonfires around there, right?
I gotta imagine there's somebody like the high school parties that, you know, they weren't supposed to have a party, but they were, but they're like the...
It's out of control!
The kid hosting the party, like, you guys, no, I smell poop. Is there poop on your shoe? I smell poop.
It's so funny, dude.
Put the candles down.
We'll get there. There's a guy who actually makes an announcement. It's the brown acid guy. He comes back and says something to the crowd. But yeah, so basically during the Red Hot Chili Peppers performance, all the candles that were supposed to be used during the vigil were actually lit and started a bunch of bonfires around the concert grounds. And you remember all those water bottles that Kid Rock had thrown towards the stage?
He recycled them.
Well, they sort of did. They used them as firewood for the bonfires. So they just started pouring tons of plastic bottles on these fires. And toxic smoke spewed out throughout the area.
Is this when Chili Peppers were playing?
That's correct.
Yeah, you know what song it was?
What song is that?
It was Fire.
By Jimi Hendrix?
Yeah. Yep.
I think we're there. I think because that's what happened. After they were finished, the Chili Peppers, the main set, the audience was informed about a bit of a problem. Apparently, one of the audio towers had caught fire, and the fire department was called in to extinguish it. They're not there yet, but they're on their way. So backstage.
So everybody be cool.
Everybody be cool.
5-0.
Back on stage, Anthony Kiedis, he remarks how the fires looked from the stage, comparing them to 1979 film Apocalypse Now.
And never saw it.
Yeah, me neither. But apparently it's pretty tragic and desolate, like, you know, apocalypse. So the band proceeds to play Sir Psycho Sexy, followed by their rendition of Jimi Hendrix Fire, which is when everybody lit all of the fires out in the crowds.
It's almost like it was planned to go this way. Like, it was a perfect storm.
Well, now, Anthony Kiedis later says that Jimi Hendrix's sister asked them to play Fire in honor of Jimmy and his performance at the original Woodstock Festival. They were not playing it to encourage the crowd.
It wasn't me. It was the one-armed man.
He was very much insistent. We did not do that to encourage them to set fires.
Now, they follow that up with the roof. The roof.
The roof is on fire.
Burning down the house.
We don't need no water. Let the motherfucker burn. Many large, high bonfires were burning before the band left the stage. People danced around circles in fire. It's very hedonistic.
Like, yeah, I'm getting a very Lord of the Flies vibe, you know?
To keep the fires burning, people tore panels off of the security fence, and ATMs were tipped over and broken into. Trailers full of merchandise and equipment were forced open and burglarized.
That's always, honestly, like, that's always scary to me. Like, when you're in a situation and you have...
Oh, shit's like, going down.
Well, when the crowd realizes, hey, there's more of us than them.
Than them.
Yeah, I'm not going to be a hero if I'm one of those security guards.
No. Nope. No, we'll get there, too. That's coming up. Abandoned vendors' booths were turned over and set on fire. The gang rape occurred during corn set. So two men cornered a 24-year-old woman. Descriptions of her have her about maybe 100 pounds. She's from Pittsburgh, and she's in the mosh pit. She gets yanked into the mosh pit. She's surfing, like crowd surfing.
Yeah.
And then she gets sucked under. And so people didn't know if she fell or got pulled in, but they were assaulting her with fingers, some type of foreign object, before they actually raped her.
All right, we get the idea.
Yeah, yeah. The police said, due to the congestion of the crowd, she felt that if she yelled out for help or fought, she feared she was going to be beaten to death. The men were never apprehended. Following Lip Biscuit's set on stage, the MC organizers made an announcement. He said, quote, please, there are people hurt out there. They're your brothers and sisters. They're under the towers. People, please. Help the medical team get them out of there. We can't continue the show until we get these dear people out of there. We have really serious situation here.
Well, that was what I was talking about earlier. It was the MTV Video Music Awards and BC Boys won for Sabotage. And yeah, Ed Rock, like, that was, he went right, like, he addressed that immediately. He's like, this Woodstock, you know, it was a shit show. Like, the sexual assault that happened and there's no accountability. And like,
oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, good for you, dude.
He's like, who's that guy who just hosted the Oscars, who was talking shit about all the pedophiles?
Oh,
Gervais.
You know, like, I don't watch that show.
Up,
I watch those.
It was sweet.
Yeah, yeah. I like watching people get knocked down a peg.
Well, especially those people. Like, that's their whole goal in life. Is like, look at me, look at me. It's yeah. Like, oh, yeah? Well, here's who you work for,
exactly.
A-hole. You're like, oh, I didn't realize.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little perspective there, people. Well, unfortunately, Fred Durst has his perspective, and he told the crowd, he said, quote, people are getting hurt. Don't let anybody get hurt, but I don't think you should mellow out. That's what Alanis Morissette had you motherfuckers do. If somebody falls, pick them up. We already let the negative energy out. We want to let the positive energy out.
Then he launched into Nookie.
Did it all for the Nookie. Where are the cops during this whole thing? Right? That's what I'm saying. You were talking about that.
I'm not going to be a hero, dude.
You just said you're not going to be a hero, right?
I know. Like, you know, I'm just one man.
Well, with 500 New York State troopers plus local PD, the authorities were also supposed to have a little help from this courtesy volunteer security that they got from New York City.
Bunch of rent-a-cops?
Bunch of guys, kung fu experts and karate experts.
Mall security guards.
But many of those volunteers walked off the job and wandered off into the audience. Yeah. They're like, enough of this. I'm a free ticket. I'm here.
Yep. Yep.
So after a while, a large force of New York State police troopers and local police from various other law enforcement agencies, they arrived for backup. Most had their crowd control gear on, so they're all dudeed up in riot gear.
But not only that, when you have bands like Rage Against the Machine and, you know, a lot of those other bands, they're anti-authority. You know,
I mean, Rage, like, burnt an American flag on the stage, to which the crowd responded with the Star Spangled Banner. So,
And they have, like, I mean, they have Che Guevara, like, on their speakers. Yeah, I mean, they shut down the Wall Street with the video for, like, Sleep Now in the Fire.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But, yes, I mean, it's just... they're not going to listen to them. It's just, they got that adrenaline going, that, you know, fuck authority. Really.
It's a movement.
Yeah.
So they had their movement, but the riot cops showed up, and they formed a line that pushed the crowd to the northeast. Northwest. That's away from the stage. Few of the crowd offered strong resistance. People who did offer resistance were mostly men, mostly naked, and they formed a line of naked men to confront the state troopers and their riot gear. A few of them flipped over metal garbage cans and started like a hippie drum circle, like they're like ready for war, like dum 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 dum, like drum come on cops, like just swaying back and forth, their junk swinging in the wind.
There's drum
like,
circle over here.
Come at me, bro.
Drum circle over here. Drum circle over there.
We got them flanked with our drum circles. They started throwing glow sticks at the cops, right? So like it looked like a scene out of Star Wars, like all these glowy lights just flinging back and forth, right? The cops did not throw glow sticks. They threw out tear gas canisters.
You about that guy, that kid? I mean, it's kind of connected. There was a rave there, but yeah, I don't know if it was one kid or a couple kids, but they would crack open the glow sticks and they would inject it into their veins so that their veins would glow.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
Don't do that.
No, don't do that.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, the most recent glow stick thing I saw was this YouTube kid. Like he decides he wants to supercharge a glow stick. And so he's like, if light is good for a glow stick, then imagine what a microwave will do for it.
Oh.
So he puts it in the microwave. And then he pulls it out and it bursts in his face. He's like, oh my God, oh my God. And he's like, you just see this glowy spat, like just all around, like flailing. And his mom comes, what's going on? He's like, I put it in the microwave. Oh my God.
Meanwhile, she sees a screaming, glowing thing coming out.
Glowing blob coming at her. Ah. So riot cops are pushing the crowd. The crowd disperses quickly back towards the shit-filled campgrounds at the main entrance. MTV's Kurt Loder described the festival's final day as, quote, dangerous to be around and scary. There were just waves of hatred bouncing off around the place, and it was clear we had to get out of there.
So you got a little helicopter and went up?
Well, Fred Durst disagrees. He has a quote about it. He says, quote, I didn't see anybody getting hurt. You don't see that when you're looking out on a sea of people and a stage is 20 feet in the air. You're performing and you're feeling the music. How do they expect us to see anything bad going on?
Jeez, dude.
Just a rape in the mosh pit, huh, Durst?
You know, right when you think you can't like Fred Durst even
less,
more, he opens his mouth and it's... I just can't like the guy.
Come on, guys.
You talking about that, how he would kind of like poach the other artists. Kind of like their hooks and their like,
yeah,
I like
man.
That, I like that, I like that.
He's a complete total parasite, dude. He goes around sucking up other cool, talented people, and the next thing you know, he's got a number one hit.
Yeah.
So, well, this is not a number one hit, but during the Metallica performance, David DeRosa, he collapsed in the mosh pit. So concert medical staff initially tried to treat his symptoms, the seizure, and so the doctor suspected he had a drug overdose.
Was this 90s alt-rock Metallica when they cut their hair and they got their nipples pierced?
I think it was.
Was it?
Yeah.
And the video was like in slow motion. There's snakes everywhere.
Exactly. James Hetfield's got like the Butch shortcut and like the American Chopper's motorcycle handlebar mustache.
Rah.
Yeah. So they're playing. This dude, David, collapses, starts having seizures. They're like, is he having a drug overdose? And so he's transported to the local actual Air Force Base Medical Center, and then he gets airlifted from there to the University of Syracuse Hospital. So they're trying to save this dude. An hour after he collapsed, DeRosa's body temperature goes up to 107. That's 42 degrees C for you metrics. The following afternoon, he's in a coma, and the doctor diagnosed him with hypothermia, probably like secondary heat stroke. So,
but isn't when you... Like the rave, not to keep circling back to the rave, but I mean, 90s, so of course, like ease, like that's the one you're on, right? And that dehydrates you.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
And you don't have access to hydrate yourself, so it's
not there. So after being in coma for another day, David dies 12:09 p.m. Monday, July 26th.
Damn.
So the autopsy report ruled the death as accidental and listed the cause of death to be hypothermia along with an enlarged heart and obesity. So.
Oh, he's a bigger dude?
He had some pre-existing conditions, okay. I guess, as they would say now. Yeah. There. But dude died at Woodstock 99, man.
Well, that's... See, I didn't know anybody died.
Yeah, well, we'll get there. Members of the National Organization for Women, now, they protest outside the New York offices of one of the concert promoters because there's several lawsuits by concertgoers against the promoters for dehydration and distress.
This guy does not have the best track record when it comes to planning events.
Not to mention rapes.
Yeah.
New York Times solicited festival performers' rage against the machine, and they said, hey, guys, what do you think about the controversy? And Tom Morello, he's the guitarist, he wrote in, he said, hey, man, leave the kids alone. I've had enough of the frenzied demonization of young people surrounding Woodstock 99. Yes, Woodstock was filled with predators and degenerate idiots who assaulted those women and greedy promoters who wrung out every cent out of the thirsty concertgoers, and last and not least, predatory media that turned a blind eye to the real violence and scapegoated 250,000 music fans at Woodstock 99, the vast majority of whom had a great time of their lives. So that's, he kind of...
That's surprising to me that he would say that.
I guess. Following that, San Francisco Examiner, they put a thing and it said, described the event as the day the music died. Okay, that's them. The San Francisco Examiner put, that's the day the music died. Oh, again. Approximately 12 trailers, a small bus, and a number of booths and portable toilets were damaged by fire and chaos, flipped over and destroyed. 44 arrests, 10,000 people sought medical treatment. Whoa. By the end of the event, 3 people died, 700 people were treated for heat exhaustion and dehydration, hundreds of fake passes were confiscated. Multiple cars, tents, booths, and ATMs were destroyed. Women reported sexual assault. There were 8 reported rapes. 44 people were arrested. I think I mentioned that part.
Yeah.
According to Rolling Stone, New York State troopers and local law enforcement were able to defuse the riot, but Air Force Base like that looked like an actual literal bomb hit it.
I can't even imagine.
The state police had conducted 91 investigations relating to crimes committed at the festival. 2 of the 7 men arrested during the violence at the end of the festival had pled guilty to disorderly conduct. Stephen P. Rob Bell, 20, of New Market, Maryland, and Calvin Cardwell, 17, of Olympia, Washington, had been charged in connection with throwing objects at security guards. Each was fined $45 and sentenced to 5 days in Oneida County Jail.
I'm not making light of the situation, the tragedies and sexual assaults and everything that happened, but how many people were there?
Anywhere from 250 to 500,000 throughout the 4 days.
And I'm like, man, I'm one of the 2 people.
2 out of 7.
Out of that many people.
Who got arrested.
I got arrested.
You'd never do that stuff again, though.
No, I would not.
You'd be like, I'm the guy. I'm the guy who's going to get caught. I always get caught.
Dumb luck.
That's me.
Yeah. I mean, you should have been doing it, but.
Well, normally we'd give you a quote from the artist, but I have a couple of quotes about Woodstock 99. We got some quotes here from the Washington Times. Quote, peace doesn't get a chance. That's a throwback to the Give Peace a Chance 1969 one. Here's another one. 1969 ignited a generation. 1999 generated an ignition.
That was 99?
Yes.
Honestly, though, I think it is kind of a, I don't want to say fitting, but it makes sense. Like, that was an appropriate bookend for the 90s.
Rage Against the Latrine. It's another quote here. We got one from Kevin Bug. He's from Cape Cod. It says, like a hockey match in a phone booth.
What?
That's what he compared it to. Here's one. Quote, you hear people saying things like, when we get to sleep at night in the tent, I just heard people screaming. And they weren't screams of pleasure. They were screams of terror. And I have to say, I believe a lot of what I'm hearing. So, and then promoter John Shearer said at a news conference the week after that I'm bummed big time. Like, I don't know if we'll ever know why these kids did this. I really don't think there was a kid out there that wanted to be part of the mass destruction. I wouldn't condemn this crowd. I don't think it was an anti-Woodstock statement. I think it was an anti-establishment statement.
I think you get that mob mentality, and you get the power of the crowd, and you get people that are put in a situation that, you know, they buy into it. I mean, they do. I mean, it's...
Yeah. This is what we do now. This is what the crowd's doing. Yeah,
it's like, again, like
Lord mob mentality.
Yeah, it's like Lord of the Flies, you know?
Well, all right. My final quote we're going to get from Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Flea says, I just didn't like when guys would grab girls who had their tops off. Guys think and look and fantasize about girls' titties all day. And finally, the girls are nice enough to free them, to let them flow. And guys abuse the beauty of it all by groping without invitation. Some nerve. Woodstock 99, man, everybody.
Man, I forgot about that.
Woo. What'd you think of Woodstock 99?
It was quite a trip down memory lane. I remember watching that, though, that like the weekend they had the whole MTV devoted. Like on weekends, they used to do like Straight Up Saturday, where they played nothing but Paula Abdul videos, and they always had like a theme. But I remember that weekend that, yeah, it was, I mean, it was live, and it took a hard left, especially when the Chili Peppers played.
Yeah, man.
And I do remember the most was the heat and the cost of water.
You're out there, you're listening to your concert. Next thing you know, it's 100 degrees out.
Yeah.
Water costs $6.50. You're like, what the?
But the big ones I remember, obviously Chili Peppers. I remember the Green Day Mud Fight. I remember.
That was 94.
Or, yeah. No, it's. I'm glad I didn't go to that concert. Like, you know, get my 237. And,
yeah, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's horrible though, man. Geez.
Well, all right. That's Woodstock 99. So because I said the title of the thing again, it's time for some feedback. You guys never get your headphones off fast enough.
I know.
All right. This time we got some feedback from Karen. Ready to hear what Karen says? She's one of the good ones.
Okay.
I mean, Karen gets a bad rep nowadays as far as that name goes. So, but.
I thought that too.
She sounds like a nice lady. Let's not judge a Karen before we know them. No. Let's not judge a Karen without knowing the content of their character.
There was it Pizza Hut, I think it was, down in Australia. They were doing a promo where if you were named Karen and you would write like a couple paragraphs to demonstrate that you were actually like a cool Karen, you get free pizza.
Cool Karen collects pizza.
Yeah.
Couldn't think of a C word for pizza. Anyway.
Calzone.
Oh, cool Karen collects calzone. Here we go.
Hey guys, this is Karen. I have a special request. I've listened to almost all of your episodes, and I have to admit, I kind of miss the belching. I have a little sister who can belch like a truck driver, and she doesn't live close to me anymore. So, and I can't do it. I can't belch on command. Could I please get a belch? Thanks so much. Bye.
All right, buddy, you're up.
I don't know if I can do it now.
Hey!
You know what you should do is
that was the pressure.
You ever seen like the Jingle Bells with the keyboard, like the Casio keyboard, and it's playing Jingle Bells, but with like the dogs barking?
Oh yeah.
Do your theme, but with belches for Karen.
All belching theme for Karen. Okay, we might be able to do that for you. Well, because we talked about belching and stuff, man, that brings us to the end of another show. So. Boy, if you'd like to be like Karen and have yourself on here and leave us a speak pipe, go to crimeandmusic.com, scroll down, leave a speak pipe. There's no email. It's all anonymous. You can say whatever you want.
It's a Snapchat, a voicemail.
That's a way to sum it up.
Yeah.
If that's not too high tech for you, you can find us on all the social medias at Crime and Music. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Boy, I think we're on my Friendster. Let's see. That's about all I got. Snapchat. What are you thinking?
You gotta go billboards.
We should go billboards. Yard. If you would like a yard sign, contact me. I'll send you a yard sign.
Do it.
We got some smoke rating things that we're gonna do with some aerial smoke rating in the future. So if that's sort
things
of
you're looking up.
Yeah. No. Right. But be one of those people. Check us out. Share with a friend. Leave us a review. Go to iTunes or any place you get your podcasts. Leave us a review. It helps us out just to know what to bring you guys. You know, I always love hearing from the people. We do this for you guys. So your input is welcome.
We should do a commentary of like last week's where we listen to it and then we talk about it and then we play that.
Oh, like a director's sort of commentary, like the old DVDs.
Yeah, it's like the Snyder Cut.
Yeah, we could, right? Yeah. I hear that's coming out.
Remember when I said that? That was funny.
That was funny. That's hilarious. Well, because we've looped back around, because we've said it's funny, because I've talked about all the things I'm supposed to talk about, I'm going to say the words I always say. Never trust a big butt and a smile. You got nothing on that?
That's got like a like a Diggable Planets sound to it. That end right there? Or us three?
You're critiquing our theme music?
No, it's good. I like Diggable Planets.
All right.
it's a good thing.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Frenino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.